Sweet presence of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27. Beginning at verse 33. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." The devil hates the crucified life. The devil hates our crucified life. He hates what it creates. He hates what it accomplishes. He hates what it makes of a man, what it makes of a woman. He hates such surrender to God. The devil hates the crucified life. He wants to degrade it. He wants to dilute it. He wants to destroy it. He comes at a time when the pressure is hot, and when the pain is real, and when the loneliness presses us like an avalanche. He comes when we are exposed. He comes when we are facing fears. Verse 40 reads, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The devil hates the crucified life. He comes when we are afflicted, and he comes making sport of us. Verses 41 to 44 in the Amplified Bible. "In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and elders made sport of him, saying, 'He rescued others from death. Himself he cannot rescue from death. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in and acknowledge and cleave to him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he cares for him and will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also abused and reproached and made sport of him in the same way." The devil hates the crucified life. He wants us to break. He wants us to crack. He wants us to come down from the cross. He wants us to come down from the crucified life. He wants us to step down from the cross to something less, to something lesser. If you're a son of God, or if you're a daughter of God, why do you have to go through this? Why the pressure? Why the pain? Why the mocking? You see, the devil is after the crucified life. And he's after your crucified life. And he's after my crucified life. He hates what it creates. He hates what it creates for the kingdom. He hates what it creates in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, in our parenting, in our communities, in our nation. He hates what it accomplishes. He hates what it makes of us. He hates such surrender to God. He hates the crucified life. He hates our crucified life. He wants to degrade it. He wants to dilute it. And he wants to destroy it. He comes when we feel weak. He comes when we feel burdened. He comes when we feel the pressure. He comes when we fought and fought and fought. And here we are at the end of this great battle, so close to the end, so close to victory, hanging out there for the glory of God, exposed. And he comes to break the crucified life. He comes to see us crack, to step down from the cross, to come down from the cross, to distance ourselves from the cross. He's come in the past. He came when we were hungry. The words of Carter Conlon. In Matthew 4, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He had been without food for 40 days when Satan came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Matthew 4, 3. In other words, if you're God's son, must you go through hardship? You shouldn't have to suffer and be deprived. Just command these stones to be turned into bread. I want us to understand this morning that the Lord wants only the best for us. That the Lord has only the best in mind for us. He has only the best in mind for our homes, for our families, for our children, for our nation. He has only the best in mind for his church, his glorious bride. But you know something? Your best never comes easy. Our best never comes easy. You think of an athlete. You think of a doctor. You think of an inventor. You think of an entrepreneur. Think of an artist. Think of a mother birthing a child. Your best never comes easy. Think of Jesus. The best didn't come easy. And all that it created and accomplished didn't come easy. Loosing us from the manacles of the enemy, it didn't come easy. Rescuing us from the dungeons of darkness, it didn't come easy. When we look at the cross, this was no easy thing. When we look at the life that Jesus lived on this side of eternity, it's no trivial thing. It was no easy thing. He was pointed and precise in his living. Pointed and precise in his living before his Father. And just as the devil came to crack the crucified life out of Jesus, he comes to crack the crucified life out of every one of us. He wants us to break. He wants to degrade the crucified life. You know what he'd love to do is dilute your crucified life. He'd love to dilute the church. Just dirty up the bride a little bit. Have Christians across the planet, wherever he can get to them, come down from the crucified life and separate themselves from the cross. Philippians 3, verses 17 to 19, reading from the Message. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. But easy street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their god. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. The Passion Translation reads, "My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you." Listen to this. "For there are many who live by different standards." This is no new news. There are many who live by different standards. As I've warned you many times, I weep as I write these words. They are enemies of the cross of the Anointed One, and doom awaits them. Their God has possessed them and made them mute. Their boast is in their shameful lifestyles, and their minds are in the dirt. It literally means their conscience is in the ground. The devil hates the crucified life. You know, you can come to church and not live the crucified life. You can read the book and not live the crucified life. You can sing worship songs and buy every worship album out there and not live the crucified life. You can say things that sound right and not live the crucified life. You can tell your children the right thing and not live the crucified life. The devil hates the crucified life because he knows it's our best life. There is no greater life that you can live. There's no greater life that we can live. God has called us to this high and holy level of living. There is no higher level of living. He knows it's the best life we could possibly live. He knows it's the best use of our time on this side of eternity. He knows it brings about the best of God, and he knows it brings about the best for all those around us. Our best never comes easy. Again, think of Jesus. Your best didn't come easy. He paid for your best. He paid for our best. He paid for the best for our homes. He paid for the best for our families, for our marriages, for our children. The best didn't come easy. And he's calling us to die to ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow. The message has not changed. The call has not changed. The standard has not changed. Do not buy into the lie. The enemy would love to come and even preach from pulpits and preach across radio waves. However he can get it out there to degrade the crucified life, to dilute the crucified life, and to destroy it and tell us all it's okay. That there are many different levels, many different standards, and we just must choose and just simply claim him, and it's all right. But that is a lie. It is the furthest thing from the truth. The Bible tells us differently. Our best didn't come easy. It took his cross. It took his life. It took his crucified life. It took his obedience and determination and faithfulness and loyalty and devotion and selflessness and truthfulness and brokenness and fruitfulness. Our best never comes easy. Number one this morning, it takes our cross. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 declare, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the best for our lives, for our families, for our homes, for our church, for our city, for our nation, it takes our cross. What hope does the world have if we step down, if we come down from the crucified life? What are we leading them into? What are we trying to save them into? It's not the crucified life. It's not the cross of Jesus. It's not true repentance. But it's a degraded form, a diluted form. It's a destroyed form of what Jesus created. The standard that he set up. The devil wants us to come down from the cross. You know what? He wants us out of touch with the cross. He wants us to get used to being removed from the cross, yet it's still in sight. And then he starts to lead us away until it fades into the distance. And we adopt one of these different standards. Number two, it takes self-denial. Luke 14, 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is very pointed. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Don't pull away from underlining that one. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what can a man give? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to remind us this morning of Galatians 2:20. The Passion Translation reads, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. It takes our cross and it takes self-denial. And he will have it no other way. We might have it another way. Others might pressure us to accept another way. But there is no other way. There is no lower standard. There is no different approach. It has not changed. And it will not change. Number three, we have to lose ourselves in his will. Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I don't know what the cup represents for you this morning. But you got to get wrapped up in His will. We all have to get wrapped up in His will. Otherwise, the crucified life will be broken. It will be degraded and diluted and destroyed. It will be a different standard than the standard of Jesus Christ. We can't trust our will, but we can trust His. See, our will gets messed up when the heat is on. And that's why we cry out at all times, nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Number four today, we have to be relentless and undeterred. Anyone here this morning relentless and undeterred? That's the call. That no matter what, our crucified life does not fall. No matter the pressure and no matter the pain and no matter the fears, no matter the voices, I want to declare to us this morning, don't come down from the cross. If it's the voice of a child, if it's the voice of a wayward child, don't come down from the cross. Don't lower the standard. Don't accept another level. Don't lower the standard. If it's your spouse, choose Christ. Love them, but choose Christ. If it's other people that perhaps don't belong to this house or belong to this house and don't belong to the standard of this house, don't let them crack your crucified life. If there are people that are trying to rewrite the text or take parts out or tell you that part's not really important, rewrite it, amend the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not bow. Do not come down from the cross. Don't distance yourself from the cross. Choose the crucified life and be relentless and undeterred. Jesus was okay with being alone. I want to ask you this morning, are you? Are you okay with being hated? Are you okay with being slandered? Are you okay with being mocked and being made sport of? As you hang out there for God's glory, as you hang out there exposed in this world, or as soon as there's a little bit of pressure, okay, we just lower ourselves a little bit. Okay, I'll come down from the cross, the high and holy calling. I'll come down to your level. I'll meet you eye to eye. Don't crack. It's those that endure to the end. No matter the burden, no matter the battle, don't step down from the cross. Don't step down to a lesser level, a lesser life, a different standard, standards of those that hate Christ's cross, that care only for their appetites. You see, that's the truth. Those that adopt different standards, they care about their appetite. They don't care about God. Because if they truly cared about God, they would come before the cross and they would realize just who they are in light of His perfect holiness. And they would fall to their knees and they would repent. And they would take up their cross and they would follow Him daily. And they would become His disciple. We got to be relentless and undeterred. When the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, when he was hungry, he was trying to break the crucified life. Again, words of Carter Conlon. Jesus replied, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. In other words, I have been sent on a mission by my Father, and I am going to fulfill it. It doesn't mean that I will always be comfortable, but I have a word from the Father that I am going to finish this journey in victory, and many are coming with me. Receive the word this morning. Isaiah 50, verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Relentless and undeterred. Now, first and foremost, we want to honor the Lord. We want to honor the sacrifice of Jesus. We want to honor the Jesus life, and we want to honor all that he accomplished for us, all that it took for our best. And so we live the crucified life. How many want to honor Jesus? We want to honor the Lord. We don't honor him when we bring it down to another level. We don't honor him when we degrade it and dilute it for others. That's not honoring Jesus. We're not saying don't love others, but we're not going to bow to their agenda. And we're not going to take the standards of God and make them less than they are so to appease conscience. We're going to stand. For we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. A lesser level is not the gospel, and it doesn't hold the power. And it doesn't lead to salvation. Only the message of the crucified life. Second, we understand that the crucified life is our best life, and that it brings the very best we could ever hope for us, for our families, for our marriages, for our children, our homes, our church, our nation, and so on. And so, we live the crucified life. Matthew 27, verse 40. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Listen to those words. Feel the weight of this verse. Jesus in the final hour. If you are the Son of God, come on down. Are you this morning feeling the pressure? Are you feeling the heat? Are you feeling lonely? Are you fighting fears? Matthew 4, 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones, command that they become bread. Are you here today feeling hungry? Passion Translation, then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, how can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? How can you possibly be the Son of God and feel pressure? How can you possibly be a daughter of God and feel pain? How can you possibly be a follower? How can you possibly be a joint heir and be dealing with this? How can you possibly be a faithful church attender, one living the crucified life, and be facing what you're facing? Isn't that how he comes? And he just wants us to break, and he wants us to crack and say, you know what, devil, you're right. And he wants us to forsake the cross and come down. What is it today? What voice? Is the devil mocking you as you cling to your cross? Are people mocking you as you cling to your cross, to Christ's cross? Man, I've been mocked. That's all right. Where are you at now? Are they blaspheming and wagging their heads? Are they reviling you? Today, let it be said of us that nothing, that no one is going to take us off the cross. Nothing and no one. I love what Jesus said. You know, who is my mother and who's my brother? He goes on. He says, it's those that do the will of God. I don't say this lightly this morning, but often on this side of eternity, we get caught up in earthly relationships that mean a lot to us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is when we dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ to keep the relationship. When we lower the standard to appease conscience, to bring acceptance, and we somehow feel that that's going to heal all. We somehow feel that that is love. That's showing them love. We somehow feel that that's showing them what Jesus would show them, and that's so far from the truth. We need the standard to be held high. What hope do we have if the standard is degraded and diluted and destroyed? Nothing and no one is going to separate us from the crucified life. Nothing and no one is going to get us to step down to a lesser level or a lesser life. You see, the devil knows that there's an empty tomb on the other side of our devotion. And the devil knows that there are empty tombs on the other side of our devotion. The devil knows that there are defeated graves. And the devil knows that there is a crown awaiting us on the other side of our devotion. Why does he hate the crucified life? Because he knows that there is life on the other side of our devotion. You know why he comes after parents? Because he wants us just to weaken. He wants us to break down. He wants us to degrade and dilute the crucified life. Because think of what it will do to all the generations to follow. So no wonder you're facing what you're facing right now as you endeavor to follow the Lord perfectly and precisely. No wonder you're subjected to some mocking. No wonder you're feeling the weight. Thank God you feel lonely. Thank God you still hold to the standard. Don't come down from the cross. Listen, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. You know what the enemy was saying that day? The enemy was saying, if you really are, come down. You know what the Father was saying? If you really are, stay up. The devil comes to us. He says, if you really are, come down. The Father's saying, if you really are, stay up. If you really are, don't come down to a lesser level. Don't take your crucified life and start to make it something it isn't. Don't take the crucified life. Heaven forbid we actually take the definition of what the crucified life is and we start to mess with it. For what? For what? For what? You know, the compromise will kill what the cross can deliver. A lesser level will destroy what the cross can deliver. Distance from the cross disenfranchises. Luke 14:27. We can have the worship team return. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Can you say this morning, I'm not coming down? Will you wake up tomorrow, I'm not coming down? No matter the season, whether you find yourself in the valley or on the mountaintop, I'm not coming down. No matter the pressure, no matter the voices, no matter the burden, no matter the pain, no matter the loneliness, no matter the blessing, I'm not coming down. The standard doesn't change. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Passion Translation, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers, who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. The words of A.W. Tozer, I want to share these with you. With perfect knowledge of all this, Christ said, Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This and nothing less is true Christianity. Though we cannot but recognize the sharp divergence of this conception from that held by the rank and file of evangelicals today, but we dare not qualify our position. The cross stands high above the opinions of men, and to that cross, all opinions must come at last for judgment. A shallow and worldly leadership would modify the cross to please the entertainment-mad saintlings who will have their fun even within the very sanctuary. But to do so is to court spiritual disaster and risk the anger of the lamb turned lion. We must do something about the cross, and one of the two things only can we do: flee it or die upon it. And if we should be so foolhardy as to flee, we shall by that act put away the faith of our fathers and make of Christianity something other than it is. Then we shall have left only the empty language of salvation. The power will depart with our departure from the true cross. If we are wise, we will do what Jesus did: endure the cross and despise its shame for the joy that is set before us. To do this is to submit the whole pattern of our lives to be destroyed and built again in the power of an endless life. And we shall find that it is more than poetry, more than sweet hymnody and elevated feeling. The cross will cut into where it hurts worst, sparing neither us nor our carefully cultivated reputations. It will defeat us and bring our selfish lives to an end. Only then can we rise in fullness of life to establish a pattern of living wholly new and free and full of good works. The changed attitude toward the cross that we see in modern orthodoxy proves not that God has changed, nor that Christ is eased up on his demand that we carry the cross. It means rather that current Christianity has moved away from the standards of the New Testament. So far have we moved indeed that it may take nothing short of a new reformation to restore the cross to its rightful place in the theology and life of the church. Don't come down. Let's stand this morning. We're just going to begin to lift this song up. If you feel you need to respond to the Lord, you know the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. The altar is open. Perhaps this morning you need to come and surrender. You've bowed to the pressure. You've stepped down. The crucified life has been degraded and diluted in your life, in your family, in your home, in your marriage, the example to your children. Whatever it is this morning, the Lord is saying, it's time to get right. It's time to take up your cross and follow. It's time to deny yourself. It's time to come back to the standard, to the level. It's time to step up and embrace the cross. If that's you this morning, as the team begins to lead, come forward. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he's tugging on your heart this morning. The Bible is clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not going to rush out of here. We're going to take a moment, and then we're going to dismiss. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this place without the assurance of everlasting life. And he's saying to you this morning, your best didn't come easy, but he wants you to have your best. He wants your family to have the best your family can have, your children to have the best your children can have. He wants to see you fulfilled. He wants to see you rise high above earthly living. And so he welcomes you into relationship. But you know what it takes? It takes coming and falling on your knees and bowing before a holy God and recognizing that we are wretched, that without him we are nothing. And so we come and we cry out. We say we repent. We ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is this morning, make your way to the front. And all the saints in this place, can we just begin to pour out this song? Can we begin to lift up these words? Jesus, it's only you. You're the one that we adore, the one that we live for. And there's nothing we want more, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.